It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Hey everyone and welcome. This is episode 56 of Taylor Talk. We're recording on today, Friday, March 29th, 2013. I am Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, welcome back, Adam.
Thanks, Steve. I'm back from the Panamanian Adventures. You know, second year in a row of wrestling the alligators and whatnot.
Nice.
Yeah, right. I didn't really wrestle alligators. I made that up.
I thought so.
I don't know. I believed you.
Well, I'm glad to be back on the show. It's always fun to be back. I love recording with all you guys. And, you know, it's a good time. So let's get the episode rolling. We got a voicemail from someone who goes by the alias of Swifty Over 50. So let's give that a listen.
Hey, you guys. You are so awesome on the podcast. I love listening to you, but I was wondering, how many people do you think are Taylor fans that are over 40? My nickname is Swifty Over 50, and I feel kind of alone. Tell me that I'm not. Thanks. Bye.
Well, Swifty Over 50, I can absolutely assure you that you're not alone. You know, as you become more involved in this fan community and you start to meet other people, you'll find there are, in fact, plenty of Swifties that are over 40 and over 50 as well. I know of a couple off the top of my head. I don't want to name them on the air because I know how touchy age can be sometimes, but you're definitely not alone.
What's great about Taylor's music is it appeals to people of all ages. So I definitely know some Swifties that are over 50. I know some that are younger. I know people that don't want to reveal their age. So, you know, that definitely is something that's great that her music can be that widely enjoyed.
I think you're right, Steve, and I think touching on that, maybe it's even a discussion for another episode, but I definitely think her music appeals to people over 50 for different reasons. But why don't we get into that in a different episode, and Diane can give us the calendar for this episode, yeah?
Sure. All right. This Sunday, on April 7th, Taylor is set to perform at the 48th ACM Awards in Las Vegas, Nevada. At this award show, she's nominated for Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, Music Video of the Year, and Album of the Year for Red. Be sure to watch the ACMs this upcoming Sunday on CBS at 8, 7 Central. And another thing that you need to make sure to do is vote for Taylor for Entertainer of the Year. You can do this by going to voteacm.com, but the only thing is with this is you do have to make an account, but you can do this via Facebook or Twitter, so it's pretty easy. It'll probably take you maybe like a minute maximum, and then you can vote for her. Make sure to vote every single day up to the award show, so Taylor will win. Following the ACMs, Taylor will perform on Monday, April 8th, as part of ACM Presents Tim McGraw's Superstar Summer Night at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to be discussing all of the ACM party stuff on next week's episode, so watch out for that.
Adding to what Diane said, Steve, Diane, and I will all three be at the ACMs in person. We're going to have our phones, and we're going to do the best we can to live tweet from the event, so be sure to follow TaylorTalk13 on Twitter to get those live tweets. My only disclaimer for you guys right now is a lot of times in those arenas, service is awful, so we're going to do the best to get live updates going, but if we can't get service, we can't get service. Sorry, you'll just have to listen to the episode next week to hear our stories. But we'll do the best we can for you guys, so be sure to follow Taylor Talk 13 to make sure you get those updates whenever they come.
And another thing to note about the ACM Awards is Taylor will be performing live, which will be awesome. The question that I brought up last week, and I think was a good topic, was what song is she going to perform? I mean, because partially we have the fact that Begin Again was her most previous country single, but that's been out since last September, that there's definitely some other songs that may be what she's going to perform instead, seeing that she usually tries to have a new big song when she goes to these award ceremonies, may they be the Grammys or the CMAs or the ACMs. One of the ones that we discussed a little bit that we thought about was All Too Well seemed like a good choice, and that definitely could be a country single because it was also co-written with Liz Rose, who helped write some of Taylor's other hits, including Tim McGraw, Teardrops on My Guitar, White Horse, and You Belong With Me. As I was researching this a little bit, because I was kind of curious what we could figure out, I happened to look on Wikipedia and noticed that under Red, there's some notes there about it being released as a single on May 15th, 2013. as the single that will follow up Highway Don't Care, which is the one that she did with Tim McGraw and Keith Urban. Now, Wikipedia is not always the best source, but nonetheless, that's kind of interesting. I just wanted to get your opinion, guys. Do you think that Red might be the song that she's going to perform at the ACM?
I think Red has a really strong chance, mostly because Red topped out at the number 2 spot on the Hot Country Songs chart, right behind We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. So because We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together was such a hugely successful single, I think it makes sense for Red to follow as a single. I don't know if that necessarily means that she's going to perform it at the ACMs this weekend, but I definitely think it's a strong contender.
Steve, how do you find little details like that on Wikipedia? Like, what were you doing sitting at home, like, searching every single Taylor Swift song?
Steve is just really smart, and nothing gets past him.
Clearly.
Well, I was actually, one of the things I was kind of curious about is, you know, Red has a lot of different aspects across the album, you know, because it was recorded with a bunch of different songwriters and producers. So I was kind of curious which ones would be set as country singles and which ones would be more of pop singles, because we know that Taylor transcends both of those genres very easily. So I just stumbled across it. I don't know, like I said, if it's true. At this point, it's speculation, but hey, if we had to take a guess, I think Red might be the song she performs at the ACMs and might be her new country single.
Well, we're going to find out in a week, aren't we?
And if so, you've heard it here first.
Steve, always looking out for us. You heard it here first. Let me pat myself on the back. I'm Steve.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. Come on.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time based on your jokes from last week's episode. I found that funny when I listened to it.
It was kind of out of your control, unfortunately, with you not being here. So you became the butt of a couple jokes.
Oh, thanks.
I apologize.
I noticed, but that's okay. I'm used to it.
Oh, poor Adam.
Oh, it's okay. So, Steve, would you mind giving us the news, please? The recent Taylor Swift news.
Sure. We found out that Taylor Swift is actually going to guest star on the season finale of Fox's The New Girl. According to Entertainment Weekly, she will play a wedding guest, and this episode will air on May 14th, and I'm kind of curious, maybe there'll be a little Speak Now in there, maybe?
Ooh, that would be a nice play to a Taylor Swift song.
What is New Girl?
It's a show on Fox, obviously, with Zooey Deschanel, and I've only seen, like, the first 5 episodes or so, but it's really funny. It's about this girl that moves into this apartment with, like, 3 other guys, and so she's, like, the new girl as a roommate, and just, like, the stuff that she deals with in her life with living with these guys and just being kind of like an awkward, funny person.
So in that case, if Taylor is set to play the part of a wedding guest, Steve, I would like to see if your prediction is correct, in the sense that maybe she'll play the character Speaking Now. Because, like, why else would she be, like, an extra in a TV show?
Well, when New Girl first came out, Taylor did tweet that she watched the first couple episodes of it, and she thought it was really funny. So probably Fox saw that and was like, oh, well, we know Taylor's a big fan, and we know that she's huge right now, so why not combine the two? But having her in specifically to play the part of a wedding guest, I mean, that might be, like, a little touch to Speak Now, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, here's another fun fact for you, Adam. Taylor follows Zooey Deschanel on Twitter, so that might be another thing that she's at least familiar with her. I don't know if she's a friend or, you know, likes what projects she's done, but, you know, she definitely is keeping up with what's going on with her, so that's great that she's going to be part of the New Girl episode.
Interesting. I thought there was some link between the two of them, but I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I guess you answered it for me. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome, sir.
So I want to introduce a brand new segment to Taylor Talk. It's going to be just a temporary segment. You'll understand why as soon as I tell you what it is. But what we're going to be doing for the next several months, hopefully longer than several months, is introducing a tour update section. During the tour update section, we will give you spoil-free updates like special guests, when they come out, what songs Taylor performs acoustically, which is kind of her new thing on this tour, performing acoustic versions of songs that are otherwise not on the standard set list. And, well, you know, that's pretty much this segment in a nutshell. And then when tour ends, the segment will go away. So for our first tour update segment, I wanted to fill you all in. The last several nights, Taylor did 3 shows in Newark, New Jersey. The first one on March 27th, she sang Starlight acoustically. Second night, March 28th, she did Story of Us acoustically. and had Neon Trees come out as a guest performer to do Everybody Talks with her. And finally, in the third night in Newark on March 29th, she did You're Not Sorry acoustically and had Pat Monahan of Train come out and perform Drive-By with her, which I really, really wish I was at.
Adam, you should know this from last week's episode that we found out from a lot of Swifties out there that she seemed to be sound checking a couple of songs before the show, one of those being Drive-By Train, and then another one that we heard about was Everybody Talks by Neon Trees. So it definitely seems like the ones she's sound checking may be future performances. So anybody that's at any of the concerts, if you hear any sound checking any songs, make sure to let us know because it might be at a future show.
Yeah, I heard that Taylor Swift sound checked Everybody Talks about 6 times. So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that if she sound checks a song, then that's the song that she's going to perform that night. It's just something that she might be thinking about doing in the future, something that she already has planned for the future. But, I mean, it seems like from what we've seen so far that what she sound checks eventually does happen on stage.
How are people getting access to sound check?
I think they're hearing it from outside the arena. I know the couple of shows that I've been to in the past, you could hear, you couldn't always make out exactly the words, but you know, you could hear the rhythm of the song and you're like, that really sounds like Drive-By.
Okay, fair enough.
So Swifties, keep your ears open because you might hear a future song that's going to be part of one of her performances during the tour.
Yes, so you should get to the show early and have your ear pressed up against the door. Tell us what you hear.
Okay, and finally, tour related, is Rolling Stone did a review of The Red Show. And I don't want to get into it because it's got spoilers, and as we know, Steve doesn't want to be spoiled. But in case you are interested in reading Rolling Stone's review of it, we'll link to that in the episode guide on TaylorTalk.org for episode 56. So go check that out if you have any interest, all right? And that has been it for our first ever tour update segment. We hope you guys like this segment because it's going to be a regular part of the show for the next several months until Taylor's done with the Red Tour. And, well, hopefully she expands internationally. I don't see why she would constrain this one to the U.S.
I think she will. She always goes to Europe and Asia, so I don't think this will be any different.
Yeah, so we're going to keep you guys updated as long as the tour is going on, so keep on listening. So on to our mini segments. We just have a couple this episode. Steve's going to give us our first one, so go ahead, Steve.
All right, our first update here is from Marie Tourniquet, and she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you hear T-Swizzle in a restaurant singing 22, and you stop all conversation to listen to that.
Oh, wait, hang on, Steve, stop talking a sec. Sorry, I thought 22 was just coming on.
Oh, I was really confused. I was like, is something happening in the recording? Is Adam being attacked? Why did he tell us to stop?
No.
That's what Adam calls a joke.
Oh, okay.
Ouch. Steve, you break my heart. You hurt my feelings,
sorry,
Steve.
Sorry, Adam.
And the next one comes from The Swift Factor on Twitter. And they say, you know you're a Swiftie when your grandma calls Taylor your girl.
So, our main discussion this episode is one that is long overdue. The 22 music video came out a couple weeks ago, and we're finally going to tackle it and really dig into the nitty-gritty and give you our opinions on it and all kinds of fun discussion about it. So, why don't we start it off by comparing it to some of Taylor's other videos? We can start with the I Knew You Were Trouble video specifically because it was the most recent music video before 22, and it had the same director as 22, yet they seem to be polar opposites from each other. So my first question for you guys, my fellow co-hosts, is why would Taylor choose the same director for two very different songs and two very different videos?
Because I think he's a good director. I think that's part of it, is because part of it is you see such a different feel from the two videos, you would not even think it's the same director. The only reason we even kind of knew that is by doing the research on it. You have I Knew You Were Trouble, which seems like it's very dark and kind of a sad video, and 22 is completely the opposite. It's just a fun, happy video.
Diane, did you have anything speaking to that?
Well, I think Taylor, she has a history of working with the same person multiple times for things, so maybe she just kind of saw this director for I Knew You Were Trouble and was like, okay, well, this guy can do this, you know, great video for something that's dark and sad, but I wonder how he can take a lighthearted song and make that into a video. So maybe it was like a creative experiment on her part, like she just wanted to see another side to the same person.
You know, I think you hit on an interesting point there, because if you look at some of this director, what's his name? Anthony Mandler, right?
Yes, Anthony Mandler.
Okay. If you look at some of his other videos that he's done, they're quite similar to the I Knew You Were Trouble videos in vision. They have a monologue at the beginning and end. They're shot in that really widescreen angle, where this one was shot in a typical ratio. It's a 4:3, I believe, is what they said. And
it almost looked like an Instagram video.
You're right, it did.
That's what I was thinking. It had like this little like cutout thing on the whole video that looked like this Instagram filter. I mean, that might have had something to do with Taylor's like line about being a hipster. You know, she's trying to be hip and going with Instagram, which is a popular iPhone app, but it was a nice touch, I thought.
That makes sense.
No, you're right. But going back to what Diane said, though, what I was getting at is I think it could have very possibly been a creative experiment, because Taylor has been known to form a certain dynamic with her music video directors, like way, 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 way back in the day on like episode 8 or whenever we had Declan Whitebloom on the show. He explained something to that there were parts where he wasn't even directing. He literally just gave the camera to Taylor and who was the male in the Hours video? The guy from Friday Night Lights. We don't need to know his name. That's not the point. But he explained to us that there were points where he just gave them the camera and let them run with it. And they were at those scenes where you see them filming themselves and it looked like a home movie. So Taylor has a certain dynamic, and I feel like she has a very revolutionary aspect to her. She likes to do things differently. She sort of marches to the beat of her own drummer. And I think she attaches herself to directors who do the same. And I think it gave both of them the opportunity to step out and do something a little different than they normally do.
I think another dynamic of that is that Anthony Mandler is a great director, and Taylor's probably familiar with some of his other works too. He's directed videos for Rihanna, which I know that Taylor enjoys Rihanna's music. I know on iTunes there is a Live from Soho that with Taylor Swift where she actually does a cover of Umbrella.
That's right.
Another one is the fact that three of the Killers videos have been done by Anthony Mandler, including A Dustland Fairy Tale, which actually was the arm lyrics that she used July 29, 2011 at the Indianapolis Speak Now show.
Interesting. So she was probably a fan of Mandler's work, but you know, like I said, though, this video was very different from anything even he has done himself, because his other videos are far more similar to I Knew You Were Trouble than they are to this.
Yeah, he recently directed a video for Justin Bieber called As Long As You Love Me, and it had the same kind of like dark feel, like almost kind of like a movie.
Right, that's the Bieber one where he gets beat up, right?
Yes, the one you like.
Yeah, I like that one. Sorry, Beliebers.
Such a dark humor tonight.
The other video that I want to compare it to, interestingly enough, is a very, very old one. If you guys remember, when Taylor did a music video for I'm Only Me When I'm With You, it had a very similar feel. As Taylor mentioned in the behind-the-scenes video for the 22 music video, this was just showing her spending time with her best friends over the summer. That's what the song's about. That's what the video was supposed to portray. Now, when I was watching it, my mind immediately jumped back, and I'm like, this is an updated and modernized version of I'm Only Me When I'm With You. Like, did you guys get that vibe, or did I just come up with something awesome?
I think you came up with something awesome, but now that you mention it, it does totally make sense. I do remember that video. That's an old school one, but she definitely had her friends with her. It's very homemade, which is kind of the neat aspect of that.
I think Taylor made that herself.
Yeah, I think she did too. I also heard that rumor. And I mean, it makes sense, because who else would have access to home movies like that? Taylor, there's probably movies she had lying on her laptop and she was like, oh, I'm going to make a music video for one of my songs for this. Because I'm Only Me When I'm With You is about her hanging out with her friends. And 22 is also about her hanging out with her friends. But it's just, you know, it turns into a music video that's a little bit more professionally made, or actually a lot more professionally made, because she had a camera crew for that and a director.
Which brings up an interesting question. Do you think musical styles are cyclical the way like clothing is, for example? You know how like Taylor herself dresses in styles that may have been popular in the 50s. Do you think musical styles are the same, where she wrote a song very similar to 22 several years ago and is now bringing that back?
Yeah, I've seen parallels like that with some of her other songs. Like, I think Change off Fearless is a lot like Long Live off Speak Now. I just see those songs as being like very similar thematically. And I'm sure we can go on and on about different parallels and stuff.
Right, but I'm sorry, I got off slightly off topic because I was talking about the songs when really the discussion's about the videos. So I mentioned briefly a few minutes ago, I referenced a behind-the-scenes video. Let's talk a little bit more about those and what we can pull out of those, because I love behind-the-scenes videos because we always see the final product, and it's always fun to see how they got from a concept to execution. So like, let's talk a minute about that. Do you guys, what did you pull from that?
You know, a couple of things that Taylor happened to mention was about 22 and what that really meant. One of them was, we're all in our 20s when she was referring to her friends. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what life has in store for us, but we have each other. So that was kind of the whole friendship, and just, you know, it's a very interesting part of their life where, you know, they're happy, lonely, confused all at the same time.
I totally get what you're saying, Steve. It's really cool, and it really is important when you're analyzing the video itself to note what the song is actually about, because obviously to the outsider, to the non-Swiftie, the song is about her 22nd birthday, when really it's not. It's about summer when she happened to be 22, and it's about the feelings that you go through when you're in that age range, because I don't think everybody in that video, her friends, I don't think they were all exactly 22, were they?
They were all in their 20s, is what Taylor said.
Right.
The other part is, you got to think that there's actually a correlation. You know, we were talking about correlations to other videos. Correlation to 15, because it was another one where it was about not exactly that age, but kind of what goes on around that age and time frame, just kind of what people understand and go through. And that's pretty much what 22 is about, where, you know, they're not sure what's going on, but they're just embracing life and embracing each other.
Yeah, Steve, you're absolutely right. That is what the song's about. And so, I mean, would you agree when I say I think the video did a great job capturing those feelings and emotions?
I think so. And I think part of that is the fact that because she had her real friends with her there, you know, in music videos, I assume there's a lot of acting that needs to be done. But in this video, it really just seemed like a bunch of friends just having fun together. I bet you they didn't even really have to rehearse much. It was just whatever that they normally enjoy doing, just go out there and do it.
You know, I think you're right. In one of those behind-the-scenes videos, one of the girls besides Taylor, I believe, mentioned, it's not even like we're working. We're just laying at the pool.
Yeah, that's an easy thing to do. Although one thing in the video that I thought was really funny is, for some reason, they all decided to jump around on a trampoline, and, you know, that's hard work. Like, I think that's hard work. And it's exercise.
They said they were all winded. They're like, oh, we jumped for like 5 seconds, and we're like,
Yeah, so I'm kind of wondering, like, why did they make them jump on a trampoline if it's not something that they normally do? Is that just for, like, a visual effect? Like, it just looks cool on camera? Because I don't know a lot of 22-year-old people that jump on a trampoline. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Actually, I believe that Taylor has talked about a trampoline before. I believe her and Ed Sheeran, that was how they ended up writing
Everything Has Changed. But Taylor and Ed Sheeran write songs on a trampoline. They don't jump on the trampoline.
That's true.
Well, let's be real here, Diane. If you get on a trampoline, you're going to jump at least a few times.
Yeah, a few times, and then you get winded, and then you got to sit down. But yeah, that's true.
I also noticed that when Taylor ended up jumping there, when she reached her feet up there, you could see that she was wearing Keds. So that was definitely a secret product placement there, to say the least.
Ah, sneaky, sneaky.
So speaking of Keds shoes, talk about the fashion a little bit. You know, Taylor jumping into pools wearing, like, $1,000 outfits. And Diane, what do you think of her outfits from the video?
I thought her outfits were really cute. There were a lot of them that I wish I could go out and buy. Particularly, there's this one shirt that she wears that's white, and it has black font that says, "Not a lot going on at the moment." Which is funny that Taylor Swift would wear a shirt that says, "Not a lot going on at the moment," when obviously she's got a lot going on. But yeah, I mean, in all, I thought she had some great outfits in the music video.
Well, something I think is really cool, because you do think they're great outfits, is how Taylor mentioned in that behind-the-scenes video, again, I'm referencing it, that these outfits are what she feels like she would wear in real life. They were probably the most similar to what she would actually wear in real life. So this is probably the first music video that was not really costumed.
Right, so, I mean, it's the first music video in a while that's not really like acted, it's not choreographed, it's not costumed. It's just natural, right?
Yeah, and I think that helps capture the overall essence of the song, the whole natural feeling to it, the whole... I mean, she got clothing that she would actually wear. She got her real friends. There was definitely something she was trying to portray in this video, and I think she did it perfectly.
I would have to agree.
Thanks. So, Steve, would you wear the same t-shirt that Taylor was wearing in the video?
I don't know if I'd wear that exact same one, but maybe if there's a guy's cut of it, I'd think about it. It is a kind of cool t-shirt. One of the things that I thought was interesting was the fact that Taylor also mentioned that her friends actually wore their own individual styles because they all are quite individual and very different people. So it was really nice to see that aspect come through in the video.
Sorry, Steve. I'm just laughing at the fact that you took that question literally. I was just asking you if you would wear women's clothing.
Steve wants to wear the cat ears.
No, the cat ears are very cool, though. I think they're cute, but not for me.
Well, then.
Adam, was there a particular outfit that you enjoyed?
Oh, you know.
The high-waisted shorts, the headband, the sunglasses, the black dress. No.
I gotta be honest. I didn't pay much attention to the clothing. It's just, like, wardrobe is just not my thing in fashion and style. My style is wearing a t-shirt and jeans every day of my life, so...
So you're pretty much like the Ed Sheeran of this podcast.
Yeah.
Because he just wears...
Why not?
Like hoodies and jeans.
That is pretty much... And flip-flops, too. Does Ed Sheeran wear flip-flops?
I've never seen his feet, so I don't know.
So then the real question, the real big question is, would you or would you not recommend this video to other people?
I think it was a great video. It was definitely a different feel than some of her previous videos. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if there was as much like substance and story underneath there. I mean, I understand the whole 22 thing a lot better now, but I don't know if it would be one of my favorite videos, but it was good, a very good video.
Diane?
I would agree with Steve. I think this video was really fun, and I think it accomplished what it set out to do, which was to show Taylor hanging out with her friends and just being in her 20s and whatnot. But it's not necessarily a video that I would watch on repeat, and it's not a video that I would necessarily send to my friends and be like, oh my gosh, you have to watch this. Because, I mean, it's a fun video, but that's it. Like, there's no deep substance or deeper meaning to it.
You know, it's interesting you said that because, you know, a few minutes ago we were comparing it to Anthony Mandler's other video he did for Taylor, I Knew You Were Trouble, and that actually is the one and only Taylor Swift video thus far that the first time I saw it, my jaw dropped, and I sent it to everybody I knew.
I felt like it almost was ready to be a movie. That's what was great about I Knew You Were Trouble.
Yeah, you're right. But sticking to 22, I do agree with you guys that there wasn't a whole lot of substance to it, hence our short discussion here. There really wasn't many places we could go with this discussion, really. But, you know, it was entertaining and light, and 22 is one of my favorite songs, so I kind of feel obligated to like the video.
Plus, it makes you want to dance around. I mean, that was part of the video, was actually just her friends dancing in front of the big white screen there, just having a good time, and that's what the 22 song has always made me feel like. So the video reflected that greatly.
Yeah, and that was actually natural dancing also. That wasn't choreographed or anything like that. It was just them dancing as if they were just out having fun. So that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. So, Steve, scale of 1 to 13.
I'm going to go with a 10. It wasn't my favorite video. I definitely enjoyed it. I will watch it again. I don't know how many times I'll watch it again. Maybe 22 times altogether. We'll see.
Diane?
I would give it a 13 out of 13 for what this video was trying to do. As far as a personal rating, I would give it 10 out of 13 just because that's not my favorite. But it's good, but it's just not my favorite.
Okay. That's cool. I agree a lot with Diane. I definitely think it did exactly what it was supposed to. In that respect, it does deserve 13 out of 13. And you guys both gave it 10. I'm just going to leave it at 13 out of 13. I like it. I like it a lot. So that is it for our 22 music video discussion. We're going to carry on now to my very favorite segment. This is probably my absolute favorite segment we do on this show, Wheel of Taylor. It's a trivia contest for those of you that are new listeners. Welcome to another round of Wheel of Taylor. Today's contestants are Steve and Diane. Who wants the first question?
Steve, go for it.
Okay, I guess this is my first time with this, so I'm ready. Let's do it.
Steve, which of Taylor's friends described her Nashville condo as a fairy tale in a jungle, a cabin where you could go to escape everything?
I have no idea.
I am so glad I didn't get that question.
So do you have no idea, Steve?
I have no idea, unfortunately.
The correct answer is Selena Gomez.
Am I still a Taylor fan?
Yes. That was a tough question.
That was extremely hard. I'm like sweating right now. My palms are sweaty.
Yeah, wait till you get your question.
Oh, goodness.
Diane, your question. Taylor is a godmother to which fellow artist's cat? Hint, the cat's name is Pickles.
Katy Perry.
That is incorrect.
Taylor, who else has a cat?
Taylor is a godmother to Kelly Pickler's cat, Pickles.
Oh. You got that from the I'm Only Me When I'm With You video, didn't you? Because there's like a little orange cat in that video.
Really? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that cat's all over the video. Oh, I should have known. Kelly Pickler with Pickles. Clever.
I know, I was afraid that the hint on that one would give it away. But it didn't. So, that was a fun round of Wheel of Taylor.
Your hosts suck. We lost the game.
You both lost. Good job, Steve. Your first time playing Wheel of Taylor, and you don't even get your question right.
That's I wasn't okay, even Steve. Warned about this part of the episode.
Steve didn't have time to study. It's fine, Steve. I think I've only gotten Wheel of Taylor right one time out of like the three times I've played it.
Well, it's a
what
fun
do we
hit.
Win if we actually get the question right?
Pride.
Yeah, that's about it. You get pride. Sorry. All right, guys. That concludes it for episode 56. I know this was a relatively short one. For future episodes, if you want to submit to the mini segments or just give us any general feedback, there's a variety of ways you can contact us. As always, you can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us to taylortalk13. Or you could leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. And then the final way is to leave a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. So, yeah, those are all our contact methods. In case you forget any of them, just visit the website, taylortalk.org, and we have them all there listed for you. Find your favorite one and reach out to us. And also, if you love us, rate us. On iTunes, you can give us 5 stars out of 5 stars. You can list reviews. By doing this, you actually help share our show with other Swifties out there, because when iTunes sees those reviews, they will suggest us to other Swifties. So if you want to be able to share it and help us out a little bit, it would be greatly appreciated. You know, we work hard on this show, and, you know, we would just really appreciate it. So thanks, guys, if you do that. Thanks in advance. For episode 56 of Taylor Talk, this has been Adam,
Diane,
and Steve.
Saying have a great day, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.